Morning, Grace.
Morning.
Thank you. I don't know who that was, but that was very cheery. Hey, things are a little bit different this morning. We are answering questions specifically sent to us by our youth. So we also asked them directly during the Wednesday night programming to send in some questions. And some of the questions I knew were from youth, by the way they ask them. But we tried to kind of come up with a way to have one Sunday that was specifically geared towards the youth's questions. I would encourage you not to check out because I think you're probably going to find that they're asking the same questions we're asking, maybe just asking it in a little different way. So that will be great. I just want to encourage you. I go through this almost every Sunday where we sit and we sing, and I just think to myself, if we could just believe all the words that we sing, how different our lives would be, right? And so be here on time for the worship, listen to the worship, allow those words to wash over you, but also ask yourself as you're singing, do I really believe this? Is this really true of who I am? Because those are some powerful, powerful words of life change. We knew that this series would come with a little bit of controversy, if you will, or there might be moments where we're not all in agreement. We know that that's going to be the case as we answer your questions. Throughout the next few weeks anyway. And so we put up some ground rules that we just kind of want to work by. And the first ground rule is that we are civil with one another. What I mean by that is that we treat each other with respect, that we're careful in the way we speak to one another. I said it last week. I'll say it again this week. If you were to know everything that I believe biblically, and I were to know everything that you believe biblically, there's chances there are areas where we're not going to agree. Hopefully we would agree on the core truths. But there are a lot of other things. On the essentials, we try to come to agreement. On the non-essentials, then we show each other grace. That's just the way we want to do it. The other ground rule is that you stay engaged, even if you don't agree with me or with your fellow gracer. Don't bail. Don't run. Don't leave. Stay in the mix. That's half the fun, is that we stay together and figure it out. There's no judgment was the third one. And then there was a foundational part of the series. We believe there is such a thing as truth. Truth is not relative. There is such a thing as absolute truth. The Bible is truth, and the Bible is authoritative, was the other thing that we said was foundational. So even if we don't particularly like what the Bible's saying in this particular area, we're not allowed to just throw it out because we don't like it. If it has authority, it has authority, and we need to honor that. So that's kind of our ground rules. The series is built around that. We're not going to just tell you what society is saying or what we think you want to hear. We're doing this series answering your questions from a biblical basis. All right, so we are going to do things a little bit different. I have a couple of friends that I have invited to be a part of this particular service. So let's welcome them to the stage. This is Kevin and Lauren. So as a way of introductions, let me just tell you who these folks are. Lauren is part of our counseling center called Perspectives, which is right here on our campus. She has been with, she was with Grace Counseling Center, and then when we switched over to Perspectives, you made the change. But you've been, how long? Have you been dabbling with Grace and Perspectives?
Like 5 years with Grace about, and then about, it's been almost a year with Perspective. So,
that's great.
Yeah.
So she's been tracking with us for a long time. A California girl, undergraduate study in psychology from Biola, went to graduate school in Denver, at Denver Seminary, studied biblical counseling. Really, her specialty, if you will, or her gifting is in young adults and youth. And so we just felt like it was a great chance for you to get to know her a little bit and for her to bring some of her expertise to the table. We have the location here on the campus, but give just a little bit of voice. We also have a satellite campus.
Yes, off Kercheval Street. So that's kind of our satellite campus where we see a lot of teens from Grosse Pointe North and Grosse Pointe South. So. Yeah.
So we say all that to say, if as you listen, you sense that there would be something helpful for you to spend some time or for your kids to spend some time with Lauren, just know that that's part of what she does and what we want to offer to you as a service. So thank you for being here. Glad you're here. If things are as good as they were the first service, you're in for a treat. And this is Kevin.
What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? How we doing? Good.
Kevin is, as most of you may know, on staff here. He came here in September of last year to run the junior high and high school ministry. So he is our pastor of youth ministries.
Shout out to my youth. Shout out to the youth. Youth leaders, small group leaders, youth.
Yeah.
Love y'all. Love y'all.
Kevin has been working in the church setting and in the schools for a long time and dealing with youth and serving youth. So he comes with another level of expertise for our questions today. So anyway, you have something exciting coming up next Friday, right?
I don't know. I mean, I set it up, but I think I'll just let somebody else
You're just going to show?
Yes.
Yeah, what you guys are...
Big chill. I'm in for it. This is my first time. Big chill. I mean, I've never done a winter retreat, so they say I'm in for it or whatnot. Yeah. They say I guess I'll get in shape or something, but I don't see it.
Yeah. Nah, we ain't doing never actually seen snow, so this ought to be interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be a little scary.
The big really chill for you. So we have a few questions from the students. I brought a couple of the fun questions. So the first question that made me chuckle when I was reading them is, when was the last time Pastor Kevin cut his hair?
Why they messing with me, y'all? They said these are extensions or what? I said, this is my real hair, y'all. So I will give y'all, this is actually the second time I've grown my hair out. And so I'll give y'all the first time I grew my hair out, because the office, we got a little thing going on. They got to guess when these are. But my first time I grew them out in about 2007 when I was in high school, but then I cut them when I was in college. And so that's the first one. Now, office staff, y'all still got to guess when I started these ones here. Now.
So, anyway, I cut mine Friday, in case you were wondering. Another one of the questions that made me chuckle was someone in their extreme cleverness asked me, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? And I wanted to outdo you a little with your humor, so I brought the answer to your question in video. There you go. Now you know the answer. Four, I think, is what we counted there. Although I think we counted five.
Five in the first. I don't know what that was. Yeah,
apparently it's four or five. Yeah. But anyway, in all seriousness, I just wanted to poke back fun at you. We got a lot of questions from the youth. And as we sat this week and kind of dialogued about how we would answer the questions, one thing we came back to is there kind of was a core question that the students were asking. And the question was, who am I? Like, what's my purpose? Does it matter? And so we kind of wanted to let all of our answers center around that question of identity. As we got ready to meet on Wednesday morning, as I sat and did my quiet time, my chair time, I took out my devotional and I read it, and this was the very opening paragraph of my devotional. It said, in a secular society, depression statistics rise dramatically, suicide rates soar, anger, bitterness, and hopelessness are evident in the culture expression of our times. Why? There's often a missing ingredient in the psyche of the modern man, the love of God. And it was just a reminder of this identity piece and how critical it is for us to navigate really all of life. So, Lauren, I'm going to throw the first sort of question out to you. How does how we answer this question affect us? What is the implications of the way you answer the question, who am I, in our lives?
Yeah, well, I think everything really, like we talked about, flows out of this. And it's really this knowing who I am and whose I am. So that affects how I view myself, how I view others, how I interact with myself, how I interact with others, how I interact with God, how I view God. So it's really essential to figuring that, or like beginning that journey of who am I and then whose am I? And this question of, you know, where do I belong?
Right.
You know, who do I belong to?
Right. And you can see that belonging question really in the threads throughout. So they talked a lot about friendships and all that. So it was really good. Kevin, when we were talking on Wednesday, you really felt like the Lord brought a passage of scripture to you. So why don't you share that passage of scripture and why you think it's critical?
Yeah. So the scripture that came to mind as we were talking, it was Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. And it says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and with great was the fall of it. And so when we think about this, what this passage of scripture here, it's basically setting the grounds for, hey, man, God created us. He started something, and then he sent us here. And so it's our lifelong journey to build up to, hey, man, what has God created me for? What is he put inside of me? And so when we look at this passage of scripture, it's what are you building your foundation on? Are you building it on the sand? Or are you building it on the rock? And so when we talk about the sand, if you're building on the sand, this is what social media and the internet and the flashiness and all these things that it throws at us to say, hey, man, this is what you should be building your life on. This is what your identity is. And what this scripture tells us is when we build on those, on that type of foundation, when the tough times come, when it talks about the winds and the waves and all of that type of stuff and the rain and things like that, he's talking about hard times when people come and they tease you or they bully you or they tell you you're not this or just tough seasons happen. If you built on that sand, then it'll be destroyed. Your whole identity, you'll have that question of who am I? Whose am I? But it says if you build it on a firm foundation, build it on God's truths, God's promises of who you are, a son, a daughter of the Most High God, that you're beautiful, you're uniquely made. If we build our identity on those things, when those tough times do come, this scripture is not disregarding the fact that rain is not going to come, that these tough times, it's not disregarding that. It's saying they're going to come.
Regardless. Right? Yep.
But in the midst of that, when they do come, you'll be able to come out. You'll be able to stand because you built on a solid foundation. And so, yeah, that scripture, I think, really embodies kind of where we headed with this here. Wait a minute, 11. Y'all got me excited. Wait a minute. I'm already up here. I'm about to, man.
See, if your kids aren't coming on Wednesday, see what they're missing? Guy likes to preach.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's a tad bit now.
So I have a little bit of a homework assignment for you. Go back this week and look up this passage of scripture in context. So Matthew 7, it really starting in chapter 6. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll see that the whole chapter is basically red letters. And Jesus is teaching, he's teaching on anxiety, he's teaching on God's providence, he's teaching on God's love, he's teaching on how to operate in a spirit of forgiveness, all of these different topics. And then as he finishes telling us all these things, he says, anyone who hears these words, so what I want you to do is go back and say, well, what are these words that Jesus is talking about? Because it really addresses almost everything we're talking about and all of, you know, so we're bringing some specific questions to the table, but it's interesting, almost every one of those questions fall back into that dialogue that Jesus has just given to us. As if you hear these words and you put them into practice, you're wise and you're building on a solid foundation. The other thing I would just say that was really crystallized for me this morning as we were talking about this is we have to be careful that the it's so insidious what that false foundation can be. It's so slippery and sneaky. So sometimes it's like, well, obviously I don't want to build it on that, but sometimes it's you're a great athlete. God's given you athletic skills. You're a good student. God's given you the ability to comprehend and to get good grades, and that can easily, while those are gifts from God, can slip into being our identity. So sometimes the thing that trips us up is the very gifts that God has given us, right? So sometimes it's a bad thing, and we can kind of identify that, but I think it's actually harder to take those good things. So I want to be a really good grandpa, but I don't want my identity to be, I'm a grandpa. I want to be a good father, but I don't want my identity. I want those to be secondary identities to being a son of God, a follower of Jesus, right? So it's just hang on to that, because sometimes we get tripped up in what is, it just seems like it's okay, but it's not okay if that's your primary identity. And that's where we get into a lot of trouble. All right. We're going to try to bring all the questions back around to identity, or at least hold on to that. If we don't do it well within the question, we're going to definitely do it as we wrap things up. But the first question I have, and I'm going to let Lauren take a swing at this one first, is how can I love Jesus and still have anxiety and depression? One of the students, actually a couple students wrote it in different ways. I try to follow Jesus, but this is still my actual experience. But that was the most poignant and to the point. How can I love Jesus and still have anxiety and depression? I think they're saying what's wrong with me, which just makes me sad.
Yeah. Well, yes, is the answer, but you're not alone. And there's statistics now I was reviewing, you know, for boys, youth, in the last few years, depression has raised 20%. And for youth girls, 50%.
50.
And that's just the last few years. So this is such an epidemic. It's such a part of, and so I think what we naturally do is we want to divide, we want to separate that from ourselves. Instead of inviting that in and allowing that to be a part of us, pain, I mean, no one wants to deal with pain. But we call it in counseling like a gentle noticing, and just noticing that anxiety and depression and letting it be a part of us, because the actual definition of anxiety is not knowing how we feel. So the more we push that down, the increase of anxiety begins to continue to rise and rise and rise, instead of saying, okay, this is data now, there's something I can do with this. It doesn't define me, but at the same time, I see it and I know, okay, that's a symptom of something else going on. Mm-hmm. Part of this too, I think for youth, there was a point too that what just came to me too, was Jesus really gets this area. And it's, you know, that you're not the only one. And the question isn't, you know, I struggle with anxiety. Am I a good Christian? Like, you know, because that's a big thing. I'm not a good Christian because I struggle with anxiety and depression.
Right.
It's more, and this is what I want everyone to hear, I'm normal to live in a broken world and feel the effects of it. Yeah. You know, I'm normal to live in a broken world and feel the effects of it. And so that's just something that I wanted to touch on for the youth too.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we talked about it on Wednesday, and it's just really hitting me as we're talking now, there is, and this is what Lauren is saying, there is an opportunity to understand that what you're feeling can be a data point. It can take you back to Jesus. It can help you to say something needs to be addressed. There's some, you know, I know I'm not violating any confidence here because we've talked about it from the front, but Meg has struggled with anxiety. And at some point, she had to learn that when her anxiety is flaring up, it's actually her friend, because it's telling her that something is askew, and it gives her an opportunity to go back. It doesn't mean the anxiety just goes away. It means I need to pay attention to what God is bringing forward that I can work through. So that's, so when Lauren's saying that, it's not to say, oh, I recognize it, poof, now I'm that good Christian I want to be. It has nothing to do with that. It's just God helping. And I would also encourage you, I talked about this last week. It's a big part of the topic last week. So if you haven't heard last week, it'd be good to go to. You want to add anything to that, Kevin?
Just to speak specifically to that question, I think Lauren hit on a quite a bit of it, but then also just the fact of like the ownership part of it. Like, I mean, when it comes to this anxiety, these depression and stressful things, like we have to understand, Jesus said it in Matthew 16 that, hey, in this life you will have troubles. And so he's right there. In my Bible, I have that will word underlined, because that's just helped me understand that, hey, man, I'm not going to walk through this life just floating on clouds or whatnot. But when it comes down to it, the things that come, I don't have to take ownership of those things. So just speaking about anxiety, yes, it may come. Yes, stress may come. But when it comes, you kind of got to put your little attitude. No, yeah. Wait a minute. It's not happening today, devil. I'm not going to take ownership of that there, that attitude, that anxiety, that depression. I'm not going to take ownership of it.
It's so not going to define me.
Yeah, it's not going to define me. Like, we can wrestle with this all day, devil. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to take ownership of that. And I think that's one of the big things is that sometimes when these things hit us, we kind of take ownership of them and we divine ourselves. I am anxiety. I am depressed. And things like, but we don't have to.
Right. I'm weak because I feel I'm not a good Christian.
That's good, Doug. Just speaking about the weakness. So now I'm a weaker Christian, or I'm not as solid as everybody else. But that's not the case. It's kind of like, what are you taking ownership of, and what are you turning over to God to be able to handle and say, God, this is you. I know you didn't create me with this. And so I'm not going to take ownership of it. And so it may come, but like I said, it'll be released. And so, but like, I think we talked about first service too, like, but not disregarding the fact that it's there.
Sure.
And so gotta, I think we spoke a little bit more of that. Yeah.
So I didn't ask this question first service, but I kind of regretted not asking it. Do you have as a clinician, why is it going up? Are there some things we can point to? 50% rise among women, 20% rise among boys. I don't know why I said women and boys. But anyway, girls, boys, women, men. What's the, is there a couple of just data points?
There's several things. I mean, I know that Kevin touched on some with social media and all that. That's a huge, it's a different world even when I first got my cell phone now, you know, in high school. It's just, it's a whole different world, you know. I think, too, I see a lot of school pressure. And I was talking with people about that and how, you know, sometimes we have to sit back, too, and figure out as parents how to do that well, too. And not put that pressure to a certain degree on our kids as well, but they a lot of times put it on themselves because mm-hmm. there's such high expectations. Yeah. So I see a lot of anxiety, like I'm not good enough, I can't do this, you know, it's never, you know, I'm always going to be stupid or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of it has to do with school pressures and then social media too. I see those as big factors.
Makes sense. Yeah, and I would just say whenever I'm in a conversation about the evils of social media, I feel like a really old person. And I would just say this has always been the case. There's always been advancements in technology that we had to learn not to get the... So I'm sure as people became literate and things became published, they had to learn how to... So there's always a way to say, look, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. This isn't... Social media is evil. It's just that we have to learn then how to navigate it, both as young people and as old people. Or older people.
Wiser.
That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
All right. So this is the PG-13 question. I'm going to ask the question in a PG-13 way, and we're going to try to avoid the word that may cause you some questions later. But one of the youth asked, why should I wait for marriage to be intimate? They didn't use the word intimate, but we all know what we're talking about here, so let's just be adults. Why should I wait? And how do we answer this question? How does who am I fit into this question? Kevin, you want to go first on this one? He's laughing. In first service, he said no.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Next question. I plead the fifth. I don't know.
I
think just to, like I said, keep it kind of like simple and not let it take us too far. I think why waiting? Why should you wait? I think it's a question of do you value yourself? So it's have you placed a value because you know whose you are and who you are? So this whole question is centered around just value. So if I value myself, then I require a commitment. Like it's that intimacy has to wait until I have that commitment because I am valued as a child of God, as a daughter of God. Like I have value. And so I think we have to look at it, particularly for youth. Like you have to understand that you have value or if you don't recognize it just yet, understand that God has placed a value on you, and it's worth the wait. It's worth the commitment. And so I used an analogy last service, just kind of how like some of us, if we got any fashionistas out here, you know what I mean? Like you, it's certain brands that you kind of like, yeah, I know that was on a little cheaper side. You know the value of that. So Jordans or Louis Vuitton or just these different things, like you place a value on those things. And so we have to do the same with ourselves, with our minds, our bodies, and things like that. There's a value that we place on those things. And so I think that's a great reason why you should wait, because you understand I have value.
That's great.
Yeah. Just one thing I wanted to add to that, too, is boundaries, too. And if we don't have boundaries, someone else is going to make them for us.
Yes.
So
say that again, because that's important for all of us to hear.
If we don't have boundaries, someone else is going to make them for us.
Drop the mic.
So.
Don't drop the mic. The guy up there always goes, please don't drop our mics.
Yeah. But I think that's just an important thing to touch on, too, as Kevin's saying, is, you know, that's something to be aware of, too, is what are my boundaries before I get into a situation that I shouldn't be in?
Right. Yeah. And that's great. You kind of hit it right there, because I know my value. Now I can put up these boundaries or whatnot. And they're not just because I think I'm better than anybody, because I know that's for youth, that's what they get. Was everybody else doing it? You think you better? No, it's just I have boundaries because of my value. So, yeah, I think those definitely tie.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any doubt that in this arena of purity, anytime we are compromising on what we know to be right and wrong, compromising on God's will, it's usually based in our identity. It is based in our identity. So whether it's going to a computer to look at things you shouldn't be looking at, or your phone for that matter. All of that is because there's a hurt, there's a longing, there's a something you're trying to medicate. And so if we are not secure in identity, sometimes that behavior of being with somebody else is also a way of defining your identity, of saying this is a way for me to feel better about myself, or even for other people to see me as something that I want them to see me as. So don't miss the identity piece when it comes to purity and waiting for marriage. Next question. We talk a lot about voices in our lives, like the different voices that we allow to have power in our lives. And I want to take a couple minutes to talk about that. And so, Kevin, I'm going to throw the first question to you. But the question that that was asked, and the reason we're answering this question, because this is just one of the voices, the question was, does it make a difference if I listen to secular music?
Yeah, this one actually rubbed me kind of when we got to talk about voices. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't hear voices. Don't tell me about voices. No.
But, just me when I'm yelling into your office.
Get to work. No. So this question really, once we understood the context, it really resonated with me personally because for a while I lived off of certain type of secular music, and so I allowed it to dictate my actions and places where I went because I was actually living out the lyrics. You know what I mean? And so. And like I said, it's some catchy songs and things like that. And so that and when you look at social media, so it's kind of like, okay, I'm building my life off of what this music is saying. And it's confirmed on social media because it's like, hey, if I'm doing this, this is what they're doing. So, hey, this is my life. And so I look at secular music and I say, yeah, I think there is a difference. I mean, or does it make a difference? Yeah, I think it does make a difference. When you listen to secular music, and I said at the first service, sometimes we miss the lyrics. We miss it because of the beats and everything like that. And you can probably speak to that quote that Norflett says about how music indoctrinates us. But
without our permission.
Yeah,
music has the power to indoctrinate you without your permission. So you need to pay attention not to what you're listening to and to the lyrics. Because sometimes you don't even realize you've memorized the lyrics until 20 years later when you're riding in your car and you're singing every word like, oh my goodness, I shouldn't be singing that out loud.
Yeah, so that's definitely it. And like I said, you get the dance move. I know it's, nowadays you got all the songs, they got them beats and they got the dance moves and everything. Everybody's swerving and in the wall and everything. We good? Yes. I can't do it? No. But yeah, no, so you can get lost sometimes in the beat and all of that hype and everything like that and miss the, hey man, this... These lyrics are really dictating where my life goes. And so, yes, there is it makes a difference.
How do we navigate that? I keep asking questions I didn't ask earlier just to make your life difficult.
Hey.
How do we navigate that without being legalistic?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to just hear you say, hey, if you listen to secular music, well, you're bad.
That's, I was thinking what Kevin was saying. We're searching for authenticity. And I think that that's a search with music. There's things that youth connect to because it's like, I've been through that. Or I understand that, and I get that, but we don't want to just stop there. It's like, what's our greater purpose? So I think there's a part of being able to have that higher value of ourselves and listening to things that also fill this in here. And so I think that's more of what I see that's important to remember, too.
I grew up... we didn't talk about this either, so everybody's like, what is this? This is a completely different service. So I grew up in a very fundamental, legalistic home for really decades. My parents told me that the Beatles were the spawn of Satan. I mean, that's just how they would talk about the Beatles. So by the time I got to college, the first time I ever listened to the Beatles, I didn't know what to do because really they were just four guys searching for truth. And some of their songs weren't necessarily good for me to listen to, but I had this conflict in my spirit. Like, I like them. I like their music, but yet, I had my mom's voice talking about voices. That was a fun one. Anyway, I'll schedule an appointment soon. The whole point being, I also think as parents, even as young people, it would have been better for my parents to invite me into, so what are they singing about? And what is truth? And what can we hold on to? And what is, and what do we, I mean, I just, it's parenting 101. We need to journey with our kids and not just say, here's the line. If you cross this line, you're bad. Like, invite them into the conversation. They know when they're listening to something and the lyrics say this. Like, ask them, like, well, what do you think of that? Like, let them have a conversation with you. Like, maybe I shouldn't be listening to, yeah, what she said. Thank you. All right. The other voice that we talked about, and I'm going to let Lauren talk about this a little bit, is sort of, so that's kind of an outside voice. Like, we're letting this happen. We're listening to music and an outside voice that's influenced. But there's also an internal dialogue. So why don't you talk a little bit about that and how we navigate that?
Mm-hmm. So I think we have these internal voices or this internal dialogue that we have. And I kind of separate them from like two different areas. It's kind of the condemning, critical voice that we have. And we all have that that talks to us. And then we have the calming or truth-telling voice. And so, you know, up here we put together kind of like that negative and positive, you know, but we hear that I'm helpless instead of that I am capable, or I'm a bad person instead of I am a good person. So it kind of, we go through this, I am worthless, I'm worthwhile. You know, a lot of the youth too, it's, the main ones, I wrote down a couple that the critical condemning voice is, I'm a disappointment. Something is wrong with me. I'm stupid. Or I'm unwanted. I'm unlovable. And a lot of what we talk about, like with the positive, and I use a lot of that positive beliefs and those negative beliefs. And some of the positive beliefs that we really talk about is, I have value.
For sure.
I belong. I can be myself. So, yeah.
That's great. I think we all struggle with this one. Like, to believe that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, to believe that we are God's workmanship, a work of art created to do so. Like, man, you have to go back to that foundational truth. That's building your house on the rock when you can say, so you're going to have those thoughts. No one talks to you more than you. So you got to pay attention to what you're saying to yourself. But then you have to have that discipline of saying, that is not the voice of God. That is not truth. Truth is. And so those positive words can go. So the question that goes along with these voices, well, actually, I do want to talk about one more thing. And just real quick, one of the questions that was asked is, how can I have friends who are not walking with Jesus and still walk with Jesus faithfully? So that was asked probably three or four times in a different way. Like, how can I keep from being influenced by my friends? So I don't know if you want to run at that one real quick, but it's just that picture of...
Well, we all live in the world, so we have friends from all walks of life. I think that it doesn't mean we have to run from it. I think at the same time I see with youth, it can indoctrinate, like we talk about, some of that, like the poor influence, for some reason we're drawn to that. And we want to kind of like be there instead of just remembering who and whose we are. So I don't think, I guess my thought is, you know, or when I talk to youth, it's less about, you know, not having, you know, friends that aren't Christians or Christians. I mean, it's great to surround ourselves with people that are going to bring us truth.
Right.
At the same time, that's not the full world we live in either. And
right.
So I think there's a fine line between two, being able to speak truth into them and then also giving space for people that have that negativity in our lives as well.
Yeah, it feels to me like we have to ask the question, how much power are we given those voices?
Right.
Right, and so that's a big part of it. Question came in, I've been asked it in three different ways, but it's kind of the same question. How can I hear the voice of God? Does God really talk to people? Can I really hear God or experience God personally? So, Kevin, you want to?
This one actually was great to me. And so to all three of those, I would say yes, you can hear the voice of God. Does he really talk to people? Yes. And can you really hear God or experience him personally? Yes. And so, but I think there's a bigger question within that, those three questions. And the question is, will you listen when he speaks? And I really don't, definitely. Because I think God understands that the enemy's not waiting to attack youth. He's not waiting to attack adults. He's not waiting. And so God is like, hey, I'm not going to wait to speak to you. If you're following me, you can. He says, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice and they follow me. And so if you're one of his sheep, yes, he's speaking to you. But the question is, are you following when he, are you listening when he speaks to you? Or are you disregarding and saying, that's not, that don't fit me. That's not for me. Maybe you've heard it in, like, him asking you, will you pray for that student at school? Or, hey, will you cut that relationship off because it's not good for you? Or would you...
wait until marriage.
Yeah, wait till marriage. There you go. Yeah. And so we look at these, we hear these certain things, and they're still small voices, and we think, oh, yeah, that's not for me, right? That can't be God. But he's speaking. And so I just think we have to really see that, because God is able to work. Some of his most greatest works come from when we are obedient. And so you look at Moses, you look at Abraham, like God could do so much through them because they were just walking and listening to his voice. And so even in the midst of those scary things, Moses had an all-out battle with him. No, this ain't who I am. This ain't who, like, no, I can't go. I can't do it. But he still
was
obedient.
Is that how Moses talked?
Yeah, he was. I'm trying to tell you, me and Moses, we hung out and everything, man. We had some Popeye's chicken, man. It was good, okay. Me and Moses. But yeah, so he was able to work through people like Abraham, because Abraham got up and left his hometown. And so I think that's the bigger question, is will you listen when he speaks?
One more thing with that too, Kevin, was, you know, with youth too, I think comparison really robs joy. And there's a certain way that a lot of you think, okay, I have to be like this to hear from the Lord, or I have to, you know, do this, and there's a specific way, or I'm jealous of this way that someone hears the Lord.
Right.
But I think it's really a journey, and just remembering that there's a purpose for what the Lord has with you individually.
Yeah. For sure. And I would just add that I think when I sit with people, even in my office, adults as well, and they say, I don't hear God's voice, inevitably, I can show them where God is speaking. So God speaks through circumstances. God speaks through his word. When you read a passage of scripture and it makes sense to you, that's God speaking to you. When you have a prick in your conscience about something, or even a nudge in your spirit that you need to move towards somebody or talk to, like, God speaks in so many ways. And I think sometimes what we're waiting for is that, the room gets bright and a voice comes from the corner and... You know, and you may never have that experience, and if you do, please come tell me about it, because I want to hear about it. But God's speaking all the time. The scripture shows he speaks in nature. So sometimes you're going to hear God talk when you're looking at a sunrise, and you're just going to feel and hear God say, this is beauty, and I made beauty for you to enjoy. And so I just think sometimes we have to demystify the fact that God is talking all the time. But I would also agree with Kevin, as we refuse to hear, scripture is very clear, our ears become calloused to the voice of God. So our lack of obedience in the things that we do here can keep us from hearing more. Sometimes you got to go back to the last thing you heard. All right, Lauren, I want to circle back to something we talked about earlier. We talked about depression, anxiety. I added the word sleeplessness to this list, and I just wanted you to put on your counselor, clinician hat and maybe just give some practical steps. So if it's on the rise, depression, anxiety is on the rise. What comes with anxiety is sleeplessness. I know that. What can we actually do? Like, give us some practical tips.
Yeah.
Fix us quickly.
Free of charge.
I could help.
Oh, yeah, this will save us a lot of money.
Go.
Well, let's start with, like, bedtime routine. I know that teens usually don't have a bedtime routine. Or just,
they don't like the word bedtime.
They don't like bedtime either. Go to sleep, yeah. But having a routine to decompress from the day, because where the anxiety and depression comes a lot is when you're in bed and you have to sit with your thoughts. And we all have to sit with our thoughts at whatever time. And so it's, if it's at night or in the morning, it's making room for that. So a lot of times what I'll say is give some space for thoughts to be there and for you to unwind. So that would look like journaling. That could look like just writing down the things you have to do from the week to get the checklist out of your head, and then allow yourself to process, because our minds are a scary place sometimes.
Mine is.
And so it can be... It could be scary, but once you start practicing that, I have seen top things that reduce anxiety that I've really seen be successful have been reducing screen time before bed. So if you can do, they really say an hour, it activates your brain. And it, I know it's like one of those things where it's a decompressor. There's a place for that too. People, you know, watch Netflix, they relax, they unwind, but it actually activates our brains.
So same screen time includes TV, iPad,
Video
games.
If I'm working with someone that has been struggling really bad with anxiety, hard to go to school, hard to do all these things, if we do 30 minutes no screen time before bed, having some space, just a small space to create for their mind to unwind, having a little bit more of that routine, like knowing what you're doing before going to sleep, and not doing that screen time, it reduces 50% of the anxiety instantly.
That's crazy.
So that's just something just to remember.
So because I really think this is huge for us, and I do think this is an epidemic, I just want to restate. So screen time, ideally an hour. This is adults. We just ought to listen to this as well. I know it sounds weird to say, but routine also means a kind of regular winding down. Like, we're going to turn off our screens at 9 so that we can go to bed at 10, or 9:30 so that we can go to bed at 10:30 or whatever. I think you decide that beforehand. If you don't set your boundaries, somebody else will set them for you, but you decide beforehand that half hour, that hour. The decompression, I just want to make sure that's clear. That can be done in a lot of ways. It can be journaling. It could be doodling. It could be just sitting with it and allowing those thoughts to come and thinking it through. I don't know if I'm missing any of the decompression.
Yeah, just some like meditation, prayerful meditation, some like really great, we do a lot of like prayerful mindfulness stuff. So anything to kind of
practicing breath prayers can be, lots of ways to do that. But if you do that, you're going to see a reduction right away. And I would just say this is not unique to the youth. It really is an epidemic right now. I've already overrun our time a bit here, but I want to just throw it back to both of you. Any last thoughts, anything we missed, anything I said that was profound last service that I need to say? No, I'm just kidding. Anything at all?
Yeah, man, you actually walked on the water here to make that
great, nice. Thanks.
But yeah, no, I think to leave it with, I think we just need to understand as youth, like this is a journey. This is a lifelong process. Like, don't beat yourself up because you don't have it together just yet. And understand that you're a child, a son and daughter of the Most High God. He's placed a value on you. So why won't you place a value on yourself? We put so much value on other things. Why not put a value on yourself? And so that's what I would leave you guys with.
Great.
Yeah, and that we're just really not alone. We're all in this together. And I like this phrase that we belong to each other, because we all really do. And so being able to just go through this journey together and knowing that you're not alone in the anxiety, you're not alone in the depression, that we're all in it together.
That's great. Thank you. Let's thank these guys for being up here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well done. Just to be clear, we have the counseling center perspectives. Lauren's amazing. We have other clinicians there who can help you as well. If your kids are not a part of the youth program, get them involved. It's a great way for them to build a friend group that can help them to navigate this. And Pastor Kevin is certainly gifted and worth being a part of his ministry. We're going to move to communion. I love that today's communion because it's just an opportunity for us to be reminded of our identity, right? And we have a tendency to forget profound truths without simple reminders. And it's not that communion is simple, but it is meant to be a reminder. That's why Jesus said, every time you come to the table, remember me. And so this is just a chance for you to remember Jesus, to remember the incredible lengths that he went to show you the way back to the Father, to make a path for you to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. So if the servers want to come down here at Grace, if you have said yes to Jesus, this is for you. It's not about church membership. It's about Jesus. If you've said yes, and even if you say yes to him right now, this is for you as well. You don't have to wait. But they're going to hand out the elements. If you would hold the elements, we'll take them all together in just a couple of minutes. But just use this time to reflect a little bit and to remember how much Jesus loves you. Scriptures tell us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, every time you take this, remember me. In the same way he took the cup, Elijah's cup, the cup of sacrifice. And he held up that cup and he said, "This is my blood shed for you. Every time you drink it, remember me." Lord, would you help us to remember? As we remember your sacrifice, would you allow that to shape our identity? To know who we are and to know whose we are. As we read the Gospels, it says after they left the upper room, they sang a hymn together. So our tradition here is that we sing. So Ryan and Evie are going to lead us in a song. I encourage you to stand up and sing with us. I'm going to ask that the youth, if you are high school or below, if you would mind coming down and standing right here with me. I'm going to ask Kevin and Lauren to come down, and they're just going to stand on the stage and pray over. So if you want to come now, that would be great. If you don't mind, just step right up here. If you're ever here, just come down. Parents, other adults, if you want to come, gather behind them. We're just going to close. Brian, if you would leave Lauren and Kevin's mics hot, so the kids could hear them as they pray over them. That would be great. If you want to slip out, if you're ready to go, that's great. If you want to be here as we pray for the youth, we would love to have you be a part of that as well. So come on down, youth.
Also, one thing, parents, if you're here for the informational, it's in room L8, and I'll be down there right after this. So that's just,
all right. I wanted to let come you guys in. Know. Come on in. Come in tight, guys. Kids, come on in. Young people.
Tighten down. Tighten down.
Come
you
on
tighten
in.
Down. We love each other. Let's bring it in. Tighten down.
All right. Pray over them.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every one of these youth that are presented here this morning, God. God, we understand that you've started a journey in each and every one of their lives, and each and every one of them may be on different spectrums of that journey, God, but we want them to know, God, that they're sons and daughters of yours, God. God, when the tough times come, when the trials come, God, they have a foundation and a center to go back to that's rooted in Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. The one who shed his blood, so that we may be seen as righteous in your eyes again, Father. Mm-hmm. And so I pray that as our youth and as even adults, as we build, continue to build our identity, that we never forget that our foundation is rooted in your truths and in what Jesus Christ did for us. Mm-hmm. And so, God, I pray for each and every one of these youths as they go amongst their peers and outside of here, God, that they be able to stand strong, that they understand that they have an anchor in Jesus Christ. No matter what the world tells them, they can be rooted and have an anchor which is Jesus Christ. And so I just pray for their strength. I pray for their confidence. I pray for their courage in the midst of their friends, God. God, I pray for their influence, God, that they're able to be a light in the midst of some dark places, Lord. And I just pray that you lift them up and draw people to you through our youth. In Jesus' name.
And Lord, I also pray that you would have an intimate relationship with them, that they would be able to experience you face to face. It's not something far, it's close. And that there's nothing that they can do to separate you from their love, Lord. Help them just to begin to nurture that voice that they hear when you're speaking to them. Help them to know, too, that they are loved fully. And Lord, we just pray as they go, if there's a seed that you are beginning to water, that they would listen to it today. And that they would continue this journey and really know that there is only one of them and that the world needs their gifts. So we pray all these things in your precious name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.